So Rick, if I can ask, and I think it goes to your first question, you said you could do it. I'm wondering if you have the person come in to answer this specifically on the levies. If the levy stays with the hospital district, couldn't they maintain that and then contract
sure.
the fire from
yes.
that standpoint?
That's always possible.
Is where I think Rick was saying.
Right.
So they maintain
And then there's
that.
No vote required until there's the continuation no, levy is
correct.
Required
so
to
so
keep
from
the
a
currency
standpoint,
of us.
Which is where I think the original question was.
Is that where
no,
you were going?
No, no. My,
I think
my
was
original,
was going
my original
question. Because it's another variation on that.
Yeah, because the complexity becomes, yes, fire, EMS could contract out, but now you're dealing with two boards. And you're dealing with a lot of accountability.
Sure.
So
there's a little bit of baggage going on here and some other things that could be problematic with the hospital.
Exactly.
Continuing
right.
to
there
collect the levy
be.
Even if they're contracted.
I think that's an option, though. But at least this one nullifies the idea that we have to redistrict. It nullifies the idea that, or it's one approach that you wouldn't have to go out and go, okay, well, Stuart, you're out, or you know what, we need to bring Stuart in from from the fireside. You don't have to do that. You could do that maybe 2 years from now.
Yeah, so all you're saying is, let's do the, it'd be an easy thing to go to the voters and say, look, all we have to run this new levy to switch it to be under Fire District
right.
3. Everything else remains exactly the same. The boundaries, the rate, everything's exactly the same.
Right.
So you would vote to disband the hospital one and vote to put in the fire district one. Everything else remains the same.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's an easier sell for the
exactly
voters.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It,
right.
it feels it, less of a bait and right. switch.
Right.
Well, so. Except for the supermajority issue. Yeah, that's correct.
Right.
You'd have to right. have 60%.
You need 60%
based on
to,
the
pass,
last
to,
election.
To pass a new yeah. election.
Based on the last general election,
right.
you have 60% of whatever that is.
We had
80%,
81% turnout, 85% turnout in the last election. So that's a lot of voters that vote.
Yeah, this is a particularly bad year to have to get 60% of the last general.
Well, who says we have to do it this year? Let's hold a special
We may
election.
Not even get 60% to turn out for the next election, let alone pass this.
Well, right, we just need a special election.
Yeah, then we just need a special months. Election in the next
and
couple
then,
months.
We'll take care of that. We'll be back to
yeah.
17%.
Yeah, exactly right.
Oh, but it's the last general.
Last general.
So you're screwed. You're screwed. It's not that. It's yeah. always the last general. So you have to wait a whole year
yeah.
before you can do this thing with the next general as the
yes.
benchmark. I don't know if that's a good idea, but anyway, the real question I think was: isn't this the time to do some of the annexation into town and the stuff that we talked about doing, rather than just keep the boundaries as they are?
I think
at least there was momentum in that.
I think that there's options.
Sure there are.
And I think that there's better options.
Okay.
But I think that we have to put the options on the table because somebody mm-hmm. may say, well, you know, to get there, it's going to take 3 votes if we go this direction, but it's only going to take 1 vote if we go that direction. And so then maybe I want to choose
well,
the 1 vote.
Yeah.
Process than the 3 vote
okay.
process to
all,
get
all
the whole enchilada today.
Got it.
But I could do this one today, and we're also going to campaign that this one's going to come tomorrow, and that one's going to come day after. That's my
yep.
only point.
Yep.
And that's the questions I wanted to ask mm-hmm. is, in a process standpoint, what is the absolute and what are the nice to haves?
No, that's a great question because that's really one of the challenges, I think, politically. That's going to be one of the hardest things for the electeds to think.
So let me then ask the next question. Does the town have to come in? If you have 2 levies and you go out for the levy of EMS and fire is still paying their thing,
no.
Do we even have to disrupt?
I don't think we do.
No.
That process.
No, you don't have to. It would just be an option if there was some advantage to the town. I think the town's open to it.
I think the town and so forth wants to. The real question, though, is we've always said, how do we do this succinctly so that it doesn't seem like, okay, if this one passes but this one doesn't, then now they've just voted for a property tax increase and they're not getting the benefit of the consolidation. So
I think your very first question is what we need to, that's a good question for Don Kolseth. Can they have two one organization had these two separate levies with different district boundaries.
Left that down.
And so...
Sure, let's put that down as a question.
So Nathan's got it.
Yeah, I think we know that. That's the question.
Yeah. And while we're at that, how would that affect the future of an RFA out in the county? Doesn't EMS have to be under fire for everybody?
Well, they would be under fire.
They would be. They're just collecting a separate levy.
That's true. It's a separate
levy. But it's still under fire, hence all the islands have the same structure.
Yeah, and I think the RFA is a bit out of our thought process. It's just, it's not a bad thought, Dan. It's just probably.
It's just to make the point that it doesn't preclude...
Right.
The next, if there was a next future step, looking at a potential.
Because we've always, and I couldn't get my mind around, we've always thought, well, we got to do this, this, and this. But what is the what is the minimum to do that puts it under one organization so that the boards don't get confused, but yet makes the process move as quickly as it could if that's what they wanted to do? And if they want to take the time, that's their option. We're just giving them our best viewpoint and what the options are.
So the question, and maybe somebody knows this, I don't know, if you have a separate distinct EMS and a separate fire, what can you use fire district levy funds to support your EMS operation under one? How can you do it when you have, like Orcas is doing it now with a fire district levy that's running both fire and EMS?
Because it's the same boundary.
It's the same.
It's the same district. So the problem with his plan is if they're different districts, now you can't commingle the funds.
Because he just said two of them, but he just said both of the ones that he did has both the EMS levy and a fire levy.
Yeah,
in the same boundaries.
You have to track what is under one organization.
Yeah, just managing it. You just have to keep...
But not if the boundaries are different.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. We can ask... Seth, but I think you're going to have a problem because you're collecting money from somebody who's not getting the services or vice versa.
Right.
And then you're...
No, but I think as he just said is you have to administrate it differently.
It has to be crystal clear as to where the monies are being spent, and you have to demonstrate that the service level is being provided. So if you don't adjust and you commingle the money, which I'm not necessarily saying is the right way to go because it's not very transparent and it will piss off the citizens, frankly... you have to demonstrate that Stewart and Henry are serviced under that because that's where the tax money is coming from, and it's not shifting to fire or vice versa.
Right.
It's how you track it and how you manage it.
There's a lot of exposure to litigation.
Well, I think there's all kinds of interesting things can happen.
Yes.
Good questions for our friends next month, for next meeting.
You can, but you've got to be crystal clear in how you're showing, because the auditor is going to ask that, what's commingling, what's not. It's easier.
But even if it's not district differently, they're still going to ask the question. So, and if 60% of the state, according to what Albert said, and I trust in what he says, 60% of the states have two levies, then
I'm sure they typically administer two budgets.
Right, so they're just administering
different. They're different funds.
But why would you do that unless you're maxing out your fire? Your fire, you're up to
1.5. So that you're operationally integrated, even if you have budgetarily segregated funds.
But you're asking, why would you budgetarily?
And have two separate levies? Why just have one? Unless you're.
I think that's
up to your maximum.
For the transparency that says I'm not using the EMS levy to fund my
fire. No, but what I'm saying is that fire can go up to 1.5, and that can be used for both fire and EMS services.
Yes.
Right.
And if you're not bumping up to that maximum between, so let's say your fire is at 0.75 and your EMS is at 0.35, you're at 1.1, you have plenty of room. Why would you want to have two separate ones where one's a 6-year renewal and the other one is permanent?
You could also have a permanent EMS levy, but I have no idea why you would
do
that.
It's a good question, though.
I think part of it is because those temporary levies, the 6, 8, 10-year levies, you can reset them to the public for that period of time and brings your revenue up higher.
It's effectively a lid lift every 6 years.
And that's what Albert said, too. It's effectively...
And that's about the only reason you would do it, I guess.
I'm saying is that you're mixing that fire levy. That fire levy is doing both fire and EMS services.
Yeah, the fire levy.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So if I have a separate fire and a separate EMS levy, with the exception of a boundary issue, the money, you could use money in either operation at that point, because, I mean, it's, you have one operation.
I don't know if you can use EMS money for fire. You can certainly go the other way.
Yeah.
The real question is, why do they do it?
I think I'm that was the good question. Was a good question. I'm not sure if anybody could answer that, but you should ask Kulseth.
Yeah.
Why do they use separate EMS?
Why does half this, better than half this state do that?
It may be just a historical something.
And maybe it's the way they bring it together in a more simplistic way, and then they roll eventually. So I think we just need
indirectly, to... Indirectly, and I don't know the answers to this question that you're asking. I'm just contemplating down the road. If you have one organization, you're always intermingling something because you don't have EMS HR.
Well, yeah, you don't have EMS building, you don't have an EMS maintenance.
From that standpoint. But if you keep it separate to one of the questions you asked me on how do you draw the lines, if you have an EMS budget that's
right.
specifically EMS, it can help define your parameters and your lines. I'm not saying that that's, you're making it more complex to Mark's point, but if you want to demonstrate and say, hey, here's what we're spending for EMS, then leave it separate and justify an EMS side, justify a fire but side. It's more complex.
And I don't know if it would be crystal clear, but the one of the things that I would think, especially in mainland or in other ports of the state, is that you also have a fee-for-service side for the a greater extent on the medical side than you do on the fire side. Mm-hmm. And whether that keeps a reduction in the levy amount and allows more fire dollars in essence to go into a direction, I don't know. Whereas here we don't have a high side fee for service just because of our number of calls. But whether that impacts it or not, I don't know.
Fire tries to stay away from service fees on the fire side, period. It's one that most fire departments have tried to stay way the hell. Yes, there's some that are shrinking tax revenues, but
the point is, it's a basic premise in the EMS that you'll have fee for service.
Right.
So
we might be better served not to try to answer all these questions right now, though, and just try to get some more questions down.
Get the questions out, right?
Because even if we think we know the answer, these very smart, capable people might have answers we don't anticipate.
Something I read recently, which is a question I guess for Kulseth, is I understand permanent EMS levies are subject to referendum. So it's not really permanent because someone can run a vote that says, eh-eh, and that pretty much kills your permanent levy. So the so-called permanent EMS levies, which fire is not subject to, I believe. So I just thought of that when I read it, that I hadn't heard that before.
Okay, got that done.
Thank you.
And legally, if you went through a three-step process to go through a redistricting and recreate levy boundaries, if you wanted to queue it up, is there a legal, do you have the legal ability to create a poison pill where one passes or one fails, one doesn't? Stand.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Going to the point that you had raised, right?
You write the different
measures.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I know what you mean. I'll figure out something. Right.
Yeah, it's just a question about making sure that there's some ability to terminate an early vote. If you're going to have a three-vote process.
Yeah, if one's dependent on another.
Right.
That we don't have one take effect if the one it's dependent on doesn't.
How do you write it in the equivalent of what is in programming the if-then statement?
Yeah, exactly.
Another question that I thought of, which I guess is a Kulseth question, is what exactly is the process to abandon the EMS levy if one would choose to do that? Is that just a resolution by the public hospital industry?
Okay, how do you retire?
I mean, I don't think you need a vote of the people to retire a levy, but you can. You can see where we might early retire what is currently on the books as the EMS levy if this all happens before it expires, naturally at the end of however many years it is, 4 years from now.
So how do you retire the current EMS levy if that's determined to be?
Yeah, and especially in light of what you were saying, I mean, you don't want to expire it if they don't pass the other one.
Right.
or whatever. I mean, if you don't pass the fire district right. version of this levy,
right.
you really don't want to expire. But if you do,
right.
you really got it. So that would be interesting to see.
So is there any, like, is there a, how far in advance can you propose a measure?
Well, that's, I mean, if it's a resolution that will just say it's going to terminate on this date and that can be within 30 days or something, well, then no problem. But it seems to
so
me that
are
it's
you
probably going to take a little longer.
Are you asking about for election purposes or is this?
Yeah, if you have this levy that you want to pass, say you want to have a new levy for fire.
Right.
You don't want to retire the current levy until you're sure you have that. So how far in advance can you try to get that passed?
Yeah, that's all part of the process question. What's the process by which this levy is going to start and take over? How do we terminate the other one uh-huh. a minute before that?
The reality is that they can't terminate one without having something else to attach the building to.
Well, and that's another thing which I don't know is something for either of these folks to respond to, but yes, I believe that the current...
Well, if the levy goes away, the bond's in default.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to refinance the building because...
Right. Yeah, what happens
that's
to the
tied to the levy.
Yeah. Well, and the other part of that question, too, is...
I don't think Seth can answer. Mylene may want to look at that. She likes to research.
Mylene might know the answer.
She might not know the answer, but she might look it up if she can.
The other question I have, which is somewhat tied to that, too, is how do we create a firewall on liabilities, assuming that there are potential liabilities that really are the responsibility of the
hospital. These are interesting questions that I don't know either of these folks can answer because they're nose and tail insurance questions that I don't think are part of either of these folks' purview.
That's more of an attorney question.
The tail policy type issue.
It's something at some point I think we have to just flag.
Well, we do because I think with the CID investigation still out there.
There's that.
And you know what? I'm wondering if there is an incentive by the board, by the CAG, to make a recommendation in a letter sent that might prompt the state to find resolution to that CID.
It would be nice to resolve that before this thing completes its course.
I think one of the things that we could put into the document is say, let's make a recommendation to the state that they at least see if they could, find resolution to that.
There might actually be a Mylene question in there somewhere.
Okay. So do we want, how specific do we want to be on elections and our recommendations? So do we want to put in there, I know Mylene could rattle it off, how long before the election you have to have everything in place?
Sure. So, and what are the election dates?
Because you have election dates,
the primaries, and then you have all that. So
and then, so that'll be important questions just to have written answers to. So the potential election dates probably in 2019, 2020.
And what's the cost to be on the ballot?
What's the cost to be on the ballot? And then also, when do you have to have the measure? When you have to have your ordinances
submitted. Because the prosecutor
she started rattling
to
that off the other night. I mean, it was like
most of that stuff she knows. Sure. I mean, she's a certified election official. She knows most of that stuff anyway. But
and not that we can do it, but then is there a legal ability to do this in a special election as well?
Can you do it on a special
election? Or more likely, what can't you do in a special election?
Yeah,
because
maybe,
I think anything
that's better.
Generally can be, but
I'd be curious to know historical data about the general election. We might be able to find that information anyway, but she might have
easy she can access. Bring it if you ask. She'll bring it.
Because that would play into it, right? Well, what can we expect in terms of turn? I mean, this year a few things off.
What is the normal turnout in a special election in February?
Right, exactly. What are the rates?
17%.
not this county.
Yeah. No, true. Yeah, this is not the county that ever has 17% turnout, but I don't think we're the 81% or whatever either.
Okay. Do you want me to read through some of these questions, or are you guys about done?
Yeah, and we may also want to brainstorm on our own.
I don't
just
have
a little bit and submit an email, anything that occurs to us that we forgot to ask.
Yeah, if we're going to have them come on the
16th, we got 2 weeks,
we probably want to give them a week's advance. Anyways.
They're going to need a week in advance, but if we by next week could come up with more, we should submit those. copying me.
But at least we have these core questions.
Yeah, we have some. We have a start.
A few others. And they'll probably raise some issues that will create some new questions.
Well, yeah, and the question of whether they can answer them on the spot depends on the questions that we come up with while they're sitting here, too.
Right. We're not playing stump the chump.
Yeah, well, they love to give right answers, not just answers.
We love right answers.
Yeah, they're happier about that all the way around.
I'm curious about the historical levy rates, too. And near as I can tell, there's no easy way to find that information.
Well, that's good. Colson, bring whatever history. You can probably dig it up. Yeah, you want for all the agencies we're talking about here?
Yeah.
Fire and EMS and hospital district?
Yeah, because they post it on their website, so I'm certain somebody's kept the historical data for as far back.
Well, they have the data.
Yeah. I've got to think that they can give you what the
I wonder if that's broken down to by rural versus urban versus suburban. Those average rates.
Well,
probably
it's the same for EMS, and there's none for fire in town. So.
Just if you were going to ask,
you're talking about statewide.
Yes.
Statewide.
Locally, but
I thought you were talking locally.
I'd like to know that's a different
question.
Well, I don't even know what the EMS levy was 10 years ago. Just
historic averages.
Yeah. Is that, do you want to put that on there? The state is
no, that's right. We don't need to go that.
I know historically, if you look at it, the property tax rate all combined in San Juan County is quite low compared to the rest of the state. Yeah. Now, is it the local tax? Is it the fire district? Is it probably a combination of all local taxes that the state raises so great? But everything else combined in San Juan County creates a very low property tax rate.
If I was going to run a campaign, I'd want to know I would want to know that answer.
Are you asking the average assessment on EMS statewide?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's 40 cents per thousand in 175 districts.
Wow.
Is what it is.
Say it again, 40 cents.
40 cents per thousand and average statewide assessments.
That's
175 districts.
Districts or levies?
I got that from Bellingham.
Kind of same-o when you're talking about EMS levies.
Yeah.
That's not about right here.
Well, with a 50-cent cap, it can't be more.
See, they're not quite the same because the maximum you can levy in any area is 50 cents, right? So if you have a large area that you cover, right, and say the city takes 35 cents, then you're only allowed to take 15 cents. And there are areas in the state like that where you have complex interlayered segments where you're taking, 20 cents here, 30 there, and you're only allowed to take certain amounts because the city's already taking some. So they're not necessarily equivalent. That's why I asked, but that's not a very important question for
us. Yeah, but it was average of, big, small, whatever.
You're talking, there's a maximum rate that you can have, and when you get close to that maximum, then they start to decrease individual levies underneath that.
You prorate if you have a cap.
I don't think we're close based on the cap.
What's that?
No, it's not.
But other jurisdictions are, yeah.
Yeah. One of the issues that came up, too, was that, and this doesn't matter for us either, but it's interesting, is that the maximum amount that a town can tax decreases by the amount of the fire district levy or something like that. Melanie was telling me about it. So actually, if they annex town, it reduces the amount that the town can tax.
Max.
The maximum cap.
But it's not relevant because there's within the amount.
Yeah.
The same with
there's a huge amount of hit.
The 590 pro rationing rate. Well, we're nowhere in the realm of that, but
I think
interesting.
What you're saying, as I understand it, is that when you calculate a city's maximum tax rate, you have to include the fire district, assuming that you pay a separate fire district levy.
Right.
And
the library
town,
and a few other things.
And a couple of other districts fall into that same thing. Because if the town or city doesn't run those agencies and they're levied separately, that's included in the city's cap.
Yeah.
For whatever that's worth. It doesn't affect us too much.
No.
Given how much headroom we have. Okay, what else do we want to ask? or should we just put it off until and think of it in the shower of the morning or something?
Once you get him talking, he'll probably have some interesting observations.
Well, we can throw some other questions out, too, to see if they happen to know, if we think of them.
We should get the pre-written
questions. Yeah, the best effort is to get as much.
I mean, they know what we're attempting to do. I suspect they'll come with as much armed information to educate us. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really the biggest thing, is they know what we're attempting to do. And so what's their suggestions to get to where we need to end up at?
Well, there may be other history we're not thinking of that they can dig up on the subjects of any of these districts, for example.
And I think that's enough generalization that would give them a good...
Okay. Do you want me to type these up and send them directly to John and Mylene, or do you want me to send them to the coordinating person, in this case, Mark and George?
I don't see why you can't just send them.
Okay.
To the electeds, do you?
Right. Although I would send them out to this group.
You could circulate it to us first, so we all say, that looks good, or add this if you would, and stuff like that. That might complete the.
And then maybe let Chuck just be the final voice back to you to say,
you can bless them.
Bless them, and you can send them on.
Throw some holy water on.
Sounds
good.
That's what a chair does. Throws holy water. Wow.
Then you send the blessed questions to the electors. Sounds great. Okay, then.
All right.
Excellent.
Anything you could think of that you would want to ask?
What did I get myself into? Is that
you hit most of the water I was going on some of the questions anyway. So I think you teed it up, and I think that Nathan articulated it best, that if you, I think you echoed it, that if you tee up what we're looking for, they may come up with stuff just as advice that you haven't even thought of a question in mind, so.
Can you guys think of anything?
Good plan.
If we need to ask about bonding capacity, should the fire district need to build a building and have to float a bond to do it?
Or an excess levy.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Which special purpose districts can levy.
Yeah.
I thought it was very odd.
But there are limitations on all that. Right. So there are. Interesting to see what those might be. Mylene can tell you that.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the aren't the ambulance out in the driveway and pitch a tent?
You know. Yeah, we go to Costco, we buy one of those $200 tents and put it over the ambulance. I don't see a problem. We got a big parking lot out there. I don't think it's going to work that way, right? But I don't think so.
It'll take OSHA a long time to get here.
Maybe park some rigs outside over in the building anyway.
I think we just called up. Hang on a second.
So what else do we need to talk about tonight before we roll out?
Work plan to start framing up the report. We can discuss that at our next meeting. We can start thinking about how we're going to do this.
Table of contents
first so that we can then parse it out. But yeah, you volunteered.
Table of contents.
That's already done. That's right. I remember. Okay, then. Moving on.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, thanks.
I will assign chapters then.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a problem. I can do that.
Yeah. Perfect. New business.
To public, too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Under new business.
Yeah. No.
Can we, between meetings, delegate somebody to contact one of the attorneys that's at our disposal to look at this liability issue? Or should we wait a little while to look at that? I just have this concern about it goes under fire. Anybody that's been a professional, a doctor, et cetera, they've got the statute of limitations and they have a tail policy to deal with. Is that something we need to be concerned with, or is that out of our
jurisdiction? Well, the hospital district and the fire district should be concerned.
Well, I think the EMS actually has an occurrence policy. That could be a place to start, just asking EMS if they know the answer to that. And if they don't, you can talk to an attorney of some sort.
And Chief, you just mentioned.
My suggestion on that side is ask what you already have without incurring other additional legal costs. cost would be my suggestion, because I think regardless of where it goes and what's being contemplated, there's going to be a whole myriad of questions that are going to go to an attorney anyway on both sides. So that's going to be one of them. So rather than the CAG ask, you may want to...
I think our recommendation is you need to look at stopgap for whatever.
And it is something that they can do now.
Yeah.
If we were to do this, what is the...
Because
they, say,
I mean, EMS knows that they've got the seat in front of them.
Right.
I mean, you know, and
that would be reasonable
so
to suggest.
Already,
you know,
but then hey, you guys.
One of the things that you might
is a standing concern. I agree with you, Dan.
Fire might want to think of is getting your own Medicare Medicaid numbers, and then that shucks any responsibility back to the hospital district. You know, and your own license, and then, you know.
Wait, that's me. I'm not sure I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty much on you, Nate. Yeah.
And
nice talking to you. Oh, well, there's that.
You're sitting right between the two of
so them. Good luck.
But
well, your geography is really bad.
Yeah, what's the matter?
But it's, you know, it does protect you from... and so, I mean, you're just, the tail collections would still go to EMS. You would just have to start your new, but it does keep you away from some of the potential downstream effect, the early effect at least that might happen. And I think we'll put that in at the report to say, you know, providers' numbers, EMS license, and all those kinds of things. You need to figure out how you want to deal with it. Here's option one and option two.
Probably the one thing the attorneys won't overlook is the liability issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would assume. So not.
Well, number one is their fees, and number two is the
liability. I'd say that's the right order, George.
Yeah, that's the order I've always seen.
Yeah, I'd say that's the right order. Okay.
Excellent. Good. And any public testimony?
Yeah, I have a question about process and getting this report written. You're beginning to talk about developing a plan for getting it written. Does any of you five have experience with a Monty author paper?
Some experience.
Limited.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to suggest that you consider asking Nathan to give you a serious hand with this process, because you have a tremendous amount of material to get into written format by the 31st of March or the 1st of April.
Yeah.
And you need to start drafting stuff, in my opinion, as publishing person, now.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you're going to wait 2 weeks to begin to prepare a plan is a little worrisome for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Nathan probably won't speak to me again. But
next time I'm locking the door for you.
Yeah, you still put me in the middle. You know, I'd like that not to happen.
No, I appreciate that. That's
it also takes time.
And I think you need to think about the process, not who's going to look at what drafts and stuff, and how many drafts you expect to see, and who is your audience, and all of that sort of stuff. And it's going to be a whole lot. So.
Well, I think just getting to something that the chief just said is we want to make sure that we have something that has one voice in it, too.
That's right.
We don't
want to
have
example,
a document that sounds
and you're talking
cobbled
about
together.
Five very different people here from five very different backgrounds. So, yeah, the point is simply get on it, get some help. You've got a lot of work to do, and you've got less than 3 months to do it. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're all volunteering.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate the comprehensive look that you're taking on this and the fact that you're going slowly and comprehensive. I have found asking Pam questions about insurance and liability has been helpful to me, especially regarding the CID. She does know a lot, so there's going to be questions you can direct to her before incurring expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pam's good at that.
She is.
Yeah, and I think we as a group have worked hard not to incur any of those costs.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are way under budget.
Yeah,
well, the party is going to cost a lot.
Can I come?
Totally.
Your band.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think it's your budget. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just the airfare that's going to be the expensive part.
So we get a group rate.
We'll get a group rate. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
How'd you do?
Excellent.
Good.
Close the line.
Norman, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you, Chief. Yes.
Yeah. It was actually very helpful.
Very good.
Let's do this again soon.
We may not. We want to do it sooner. Actually, I hope we hear from Kate, because that would really make a difference.
Yes, I will stay on top of that.
Can I just add one thing on that subject? I think that Kate Goldstein here is absolutely the best thing.
That would be fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. If it can happen.
To this group, yeah. And the paper that you're going to produce.
Well, I think we almost want to give her a one-page summary of where we are in the whole process.
Absolutely.
Coming in the door so that she gets an idea of what she can react to or whatever.
Good, we're adjourned.